On this app, you will notice that there are some letters that appear before some of the numbers. Those letters are D, B, I. And you're probably wondering, what do they stand for? What is the meaning of DBI? Well, the answer is rather simple. Those three letters mean the Disciples Bible Institute. What this session is about is for me to explain to you how I came to create the Disciples Bible Institute and what it contains. So let me start at the beginning. I had the opportunity to attend a seminary where the faculty was composed of men who were godly men, scholarly, and yet their main purpose was to teach the Bible. They were excellent at what they did. In the course of my seminary education, we had to cover all 66 books of the Bible, theology in depth, church history, all kinds of things. And as I sat in class, I thought to myself that in some cases, these professors had the ability to make simple stuff complicated. And I wondered, why can't we take this material and make it simple? I heard a fellow addressing a group of pastors once suggest that what they needed to do was put the cookies on the lower shelf. And that's what I dreamed of doing. Not the Greek and the Hebrew, but at least the content of the Bible. And maybe some of the theology. And so that we could give it to people, the average person that just wants to know the scripture. Well, that was my dream in seminary. And over the next 50 years, one by one, I put the courses together that now make up the Disciples Bible Institute. The good news for you is that this is without cost. It's all free. It's all on this app. Furthermore, although it's a Bible Institute, there are no exams. Now, as a student, I would have really appreciated that one. Furthermore, you can do this according to your own schedule and at your own pace. So this is ideally made for people who want to know but need flexibility in their schedule and don't perhaps even have enough money to pay for an expensive Bible Institute education. All right, let me explain the courses in the Disciples Bible Institute. You will notice that some of the courses begin with 100, 101, 102, 103, etc. Then there are 200 courses, 201, 202, 203, etc. Then there are 300 courses, 301, 302, 303, down the line. And finally, there are 400 courses. Now, what I'm going to do is take a minute to explain each of these four divisions of the Bible Institute. The first I call the basic Bible courses. There are 10 courses in the 100 series. The first is the spiritual life. It explains what is the goal of the spiritual life, what are the means of the spiritual life. It discusses all of the ramifications of what the spiritual life is about from the New Testament point of view. That course deals with your relationship with the Lord. The second course is called Family Life. That obviously deals with family relationships, husband to wife to husband, parents to children to parents, and some of the other aspects of what the scripture teaches about family living. I cover every major passage in the Bible on family, with the possible exception of the book of Proverbs, which I get to in the Proverbs series in another section. Then the third course in the basic series is called the Christian life. The spiritual life is your relationship with the Lord. The Christian life is your relationship with everybody else. Now, you will notice the first three courses deal with life. Your relationship with the Lord, your relationship with the family, your relationship with other Christians at church, people outside the church, all other relationships. The Bible is about life. It's about living. So those first three courses summarize what the Bible has to say about all of our relationships in life. The next three courses concentrate on giving you an understanding of the Bible. The next course is called Bible Overview. I call it the plain view of the Bible, P-L-A-N-E. Get in an airplane and go up and get the biggest possible broad view of the territory. That's what this course does. It divides the Bible into 10 historical periods and explains each one very briefly and gives the spiritual lesson in each one. The next course is called Bible Survey. I take each of the 66 books of the Bible and answer 5 questions in 2 pages. Now, there's one or two where I spill over into 3, but I try to keep it to 2 in virtually all of them. Those 5 questions are, who wrote it? Who was it written to? What is the message of the book? Then what is the development of that message, commonly called an outline? And what is the purpose? The next course is called Bible Doctrine. The title is Relating Doctrine to Daily Life. That is, what are the major doctrines of the Bible and what does the Scripture say about them? I try to keep it simple and practical. What is the application, for example, of the doctrine of the Trinity? Well, we discuss that in that course. The next course is called Bible Evangelism. After I graduated from seminary, I was an itinerant evangelist for 13 years. I taught evangelism for 5 years at Dallas Seminary. I wrote a book on evangelism, which was the popular version of my lectures, called Evangelism, A Biblical Approach, which was originally published by Moody Press. I go through what the Scripture says about evangelism. Most books on evangelism simply say, here's a method, and if you use it, you'll be as successful as I am, or something to do with motivation. That's not the way I approach evangelism. What I want to know is, what does the Bible say about evangelism? The next course is called Bible Study. I call that course, Oh, That I May Know the Truth. And I develop a step-by-step approach to study the Bible so that you study it legitimately. I discuss what a seminary professor would call hermeneutics. I give a brief analysis of that. But this is more than that. It is a practical step-by-step method of studying the Bible so that you keep it in context. There's also another little course I threw in there called How to Understand the Bible, which is very short. But the next basic course is called Bible Teaching. And what I do there is talk about how to prepare an effective message. As a matter of fact, that's the title. And I go through what really amounts to the principles of speech applied to Bible teaching. And the final course in the 100 series is called Church History. It's rather extensive. In some place it gets into great detail, but in my opinion, to really understand the Bible and Christianity today, you need an understanding of church history. So I go into great detail about the kinds of questions that you would have as an ordinary Christian concerning church history. So the Bible Institute begins with the 100 series, and I call that the basic courses. The 200 series I call the advanced courses. Now, what I'm going to do in the 200 series is deal with some questions that further probe the Bible. In the 100 series, I started with life, spiritual life, family life, Christian life, then the Bible, Bible overview, Bible survey, Bible doctrine, then skills, how to witness, how to study the Bible, those kind of things, and then church history. In the second session, the 200 series, the advanced courses, I go into more detail about some of the things pertaining to the Scriptures. For example, the first course is called The Formation of the Bible. What books should be in the Bible, and how did they get there? the technical word for that is the canon, and we discuss the books of the Bible. I'm asked this as a pastor, what books are in the Bible and what did any get left out? We answer all of those questions in that course. The next course is called the translation of the Bible. As you know, there are many translations on the market. So which one should you use and why? Well, I answer all of those questions. The next course in the 200 series is called the chronology of the Bible. What do we know about the dates? This is actually a very challenging subject. There are some dates we know for certain. As a matter of fact, we have a pretty good idea of what happened back to about 1000 BC. And we can verify that from extra-biblical sources. Beyond that, we're totally dependent upon the Scripture. So I lay out what we know and what we don't know and how we know what we know in the chronology of the Bible. The next course is called the historical accuracy of the Bible. And what I do in this course is discuss archaeology. Remember I said a minute ago that one of the courses is called Bible survey, where we go through the whole Bible in 10 historical periods. Well, I take those 10 historical periods, and one by one, I discuss the archaeological discoveries in each of those 10 periods, which I think you will find very fascinating. I call it the historical accuracy of the Bible. The next course is called the Jewish prophecies of the Messiah. As you know, there are prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the Messiah. I've chosen 30 of them. 20 of them are prophecies that ancient Jewish rabbis said were prophecies of the Messiah, and I give the documentation and show that Jesus fulfilled those 30 prophecies of the Messiah. Now, I've limited myself to 30. There are many more, because I'm concentrating on the first coming of Christ, not the second coming of Christ. So that is a very important subject. Then the next course in the 200 series is called the Synoptic Problem. The Synoptic Problem is simply this. Matthew, Mark, Luke are similar. They follow the same outline and cover the same material, and that is called the Synoptic Problem. So, which one was written first? And how are they different? Well, I briefly explained that. The next course is, where did Jesus go after he died? I get asked this every once in a while. This is a very short course, but I take you to the New Testament and show you what it says about where he went after he died. The next course is called The Salvation of the Judaizers. This is one that, I'm sorry, I skipped one. Hold on a minute. Let me go back. The next course is, are believers under the law? I mean by that, the Mosaic law. And if they're not under the Mosaic law, which is my opinion, then are they lawless? And the answer to that is, of course not. They're under the law of Christ. But some of the Mosaic laws are repeated under the law of Christ, and some are not. Which is which? Well, we discussed that in the course, Are Believers Under the Law? Then the next course in the 200 series is the Salvation of the Judaizers. This is the one that isn't discussed very often. They're not even called Judaizers. But there were people in the New Testament who were saying that in order to be saved, you have to keep the Mosaic Law. It's what the book of Galatians is about. It's what the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15 was about. To really understand a great portion of the New Testament, you need to understand the whole concept of the Judaizers, people who were saying, it's fine that you believe in Christ, but you've got to keep the Mosaic law. Are these people believers or were they not? And this is a very interesting little question that you need to understand if you're going to understand things like the book of Galatians, the book of Acts, Philippians chapter 3, and on it goes. There are other passages as well. The other course in this 200 series is called The Riddle of Revelation. Revelation contains three judgments, the seal judgments, the bowl judgments, and the trumpet judgments. How did they fit the tribulation period? Did they go to the end of it? Did some of them just go to the middle of it? How are they related to each other? Well, I discussed that in the course called The Riddle of Revelation. The 300 series in the Bible Institute I call topical studies. I'm just going to mention their names because they're self-evident. The first course is called Struggling with Assurance. What is the biblical basis for the assurance of salvation? The second is called Eternal Security. Is it possible for a believer to lose his or her salvation? The third course is on prayer. What does the Bible have to say about how we should pray? Then I have a course entitled The Prayers of the Bible, and I cover every prayer in the Bible and briefly analyze it. That course is not as long as it may sound, but it's very helpful to just survey what the Bible says about prayer. Then there's a course on the will of God. How do you know the will of God? Frankly, that's a very debated subject. You need to know what the Scripture says about how to know the will of God. The next course is called Five Principles. These are the five principles I try to live by and the five principles I think every believer ought to live by. I think you should go through all these courses in order, but frankly, this is one I wouldn't object if you went and listened to it first. You need to know those five principles. Then there is a course called My Favorite Verse, or A Favorite Verse, and that came about because of something that happened one day in a conversation. But again, that's a verse that every Christian ought to know. It's super critical to the Christian life. If you don't know that verse, then you don't know how to live the Christian life. You may be practicing without knowing it, but it would be helpful to know it. So go look at what the Bible says about what I'm calling a favorite verse. The next course is on motivation. What are the motivations in the Scripture for living the Christian life? The next is, what is worship? Boy, is that a misunderstood subject these days. What does the Bible say about worship? The next course is called A Law That You Cannot Break or Avoid. And I'm not talking about the law you're probably thinking about, so you need to take that course. It's short. Then there's a course on the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, which is really a brief study of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. There's a course called Three Types of People. What are they? What are they like? What does the Scripture say about them? Then I've got one called What Happened to Joe and Jane? There are people who come to church, make a profession of faith, and disappear. How do you explain that? Well, there is one passage of Scripture that I think is the explanation for why some people don't continue in the Christian faith. And I discuss it and explain who they are. And then there's one called Why Are There So Many Different Denominations? I give a historical analysis of the origin of the major Protestant denominations. Then there's a course called Natural Disaster. Now this is the kind of thing where I want to look at all of life through the lens of Scripture. We are familiar with natural disasters. I grew up in Florida where we had hurricanes. I lived in Texas where we have tornadoes. And I now live in California where we have earthquakes. What does the Bible say about natural disasters? The next course is called An Explanation of Mass Murder. What does the Scripture say about mass murder? And then there is the one on the unpardonable sin. There's a course on homosexuality, racism, and a matter of life and death, where I discuss such things as abortion and suicide and capital punishment, as well as euthanasia. So as you can see, in this third level of the Bible Institute, I cover topics that are biblical topics like prayer and the will of God, but I also cover the kind of topics that people ask about or should be asking about. What is the biblical point of view on those kinds of subjects? Well, those are covered in the Disciples Bible Institute. One more division. I call it the 400 series, and it's the theological studies. Now, these are self-evident. But this gets theological. At this point, you're almost at seminary level. We're going to delve into some of the theological controversies of the New Testament. So here are the topics covered. Repentance. I've written a book on that. I call it the most misunderstood, repentance, the most misunderstood word in the Bible. But you can take the course free. You don't even have to buy the book. The next course is belief in the Gospel of John. The next is saving faith. By the way, we all agree we're saved by grace through faith, right? Right? Well, what is faith? That's where the controversy is. What is saving faith? Did you know there are four different definitions among Bible-believing Christians? What are they, and which one is biblical? Then there is a course called The Four Systems of Salvation. In this, I'm covering Catholicism, Calvinism, Arminianism, and a suggested biblical view. And you can tell I might have some differences with all of the above here or there, but I'm just trying to explain them. And if somebody that's of the point of view of one of the three I don't agree with totally read the material, they would say at least I'm accurately portraying them because I'm quoting their authors. So you need to know what the four systems of salvation are. The next course is entitled, Is Water Baptism Necessary for Salvation? A large segment of Christianity teaches that you have to be baptized in order to be saved. Is that true? What does the scripture say about that? Well, we discuss it in Is Baptism Necessary for Salvation? The next course is called Lordship Salvation. Is it biblical? That is the first little book I wrote. It's very short. I have given it to you in its totality. It's out of print now, although I've reprinted it in its original edition, and it's available at Amazon as well as some of the other books. But you can read it free, as well as listen to it free in this app series. The next course is called MacArthur's System of Salvation, and I'm referring to that Bible teacher named John MacArthur, who teaches Lordship Salvation, and I analyze his book, The Gospel According to Jesus. The next course is called The Five Views of Sanctification. Most people don't even know that there are five views of sanctification. What are they? Well, you need to listen to that course. There's a course on the Holy Spirit. Now, I mentioned I had a course on the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. This one goes into even more depth on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. There's a course on church organization. Should you have elders in a church? Deacons in a church? What's the position of the pastor in a church? How do you organize a church? I have a course entitled Church Music. By the way, that is a subject that gets changed in my lifetime. It's been radically changed from an organ and a piano to a praise team. What does the scripture say about music? It might surprise you. What does the history of the church say about church music? I go into the scripture and into church history. Then there's a course on biblical prophecy. And I approach this subject a little differently. I start with the prophecies of the Messiah and then go into what the Old Testament says about the second coming of Christ. I don't organize it like it's normally organized, you know, tribulation, rapture, tribulation, millennium, so forth. I organize it the way it's developed in the scripture and labor what the Old Testament prophets have to say about biblical prophecy. The other courses include how God treats his children, which deals with discipline in this life and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. I have a course on Roman Catholicism, and then a small brief thing on do we need a pope. I have a course on Calvinism, Pentecostalism, and what I call the healing heresy. The next course is one called The Miraculous Today. I have one entitled Antinomianism. Most people never heard of the word. That's an issue that's been throughout church history. You need to understand that. Then I have a course on the major cults of today. I have one called Questioning Christianity, where I take, I think it's 12 objections to Christianity. I start with, how do you know there's a God? And I go through all the objections to Christianity and answer them. I have a brief session on evolution, and I end with the subject of my answer to an atheist. Now, I've just given you 60 courses in the Disciples Bible Institute. Did any of those interest you? If you're interested in the Bible at all, you're probably interested in at least half a dozen of those. As a matter of fact, most of these came about because somebody asked me a question. And I went, dug up the answer, and I thought, well, I don't have to dig this up again. So I wrote it up. Now, some of them are just courses that I dreamed of having in seminary. But back in seminary, when I first thought of this idea, I only had 7 courses. It has evolved into 60. At 4 different levels. So, I would like to suggest that you go through these courses. I would like to suggest that you set up a plan, that you set aside some time and take these courses in the order that I have given them to you, and listen, sitting down, paying attention, not just in your car, with a Bible open. And look and listen to these courses. Suppose you took 1 hour a day. Take 1 evening a week. Suppose you want to take a course at a college, an evening course. Would you go for 2 or 3 hours once a week? All right. Let me suggest you do that. We're going to put the manuscript version up on this app. If you read all of the pages, there are 3,377 pages, so you can see that would take you some time. What I would ideally recommend is that you read the pages pertaining to that session and then listen to it, because the manuscripts are not transcripts of me speaking. I wrote the manuscript and then spoke. So I say things in the manuscript that are not on the audio, and I say things in the audio that are not in the manuscript. So to really get the full impact, you need to listen to both. If you listen just to the audio, it would take you about 300 hours. Now think about that. 1 hour a day, you could get it done in 2 years. Less than 2 years, right? Oh, I meant you could do it in a year, right? 300 hours? Yeah, what am I saying? 2 years. Because you're not going to do it every day. All right, so let me tell you. Please hear this. If you did what I'm suggesting, that may cost you. But what you would know when you got to the end of this, and suppose it took you 5 years. How old are you? I'm 60. Great. If God gives you 70, take a year and enjoy the next 9, knowing about the Bible like the level at which you've never known it before. And if you're younger, wow, think about that. I wish somebody had given me this when I was 20 years old. It took me 50 years to put all this material together in simple, understandable form. So, here's what I'm saying. If you want to know more, Disciples Bible Institute. If you want more Bible knowledge, Disciples Bible Institute. If you want more Bible answers to some of the critical questions of life, Disciples Bible Institute. If you want to grow spiritually, not just put information in your head, but spiritual truth in your heart, I recommend you look at the Disciples Bible Institute.